everyone, and welcome back to the CEO Mindset Podcast. I'm Andrea Patrick, your host, and I'm super excited that you're here with me today. I'm equally excited for our guest, Shazia Imam. She happens to be one of my friends from a leadership program that I am participating in here in my local area. I want to share her with you. So let me read you a little bit about how amazing she really is. Shazia is an award-winning speaker, host of the top 12 podcast Feminine and Fulfilled, and lovingly known as the Life Engineer. After 2 decades of thriving in the corporate world as an engineer for Fortune 500 companies, Shazia hit the reset button to follow her heart and soul's calling. Now, as an ICF certified life coach, she's on a mission to help women embrace their true selves, live with purpose, and step into their power. Shazia's journey from a people-pleasing perfectionist to a bold, joyful leader began when her life took an unexpected turn. After facing unimaginable loss, the passing of her son, and the end of her marriage, she discovered that these experiences were not breaking her, but breaking her open. It was a divine wake-up call that led her to find her soulmate, embrace her feminine power, and ultimately live her most authentic life. Through her coaching, speaking, and podcast, Shazia empowers women everywhere to break free from society's expectations and unleash their whole selves. Because life is way more fabulous when you live it fulfilled, happy, and unapologetically you. Does that sound familiar to you guys? Because we talk about that here on the podcast as well. I also talk about being unapologetically you on my YouTube channel, Andrea Patrick Official. It will be linked down below. Make sure you subscribe and engage with me there. But for sure, this conversation is going to be amazing, and I'm super excited to have it with her. So let's go ahead and dive into talking with Shazia. All right, guys, I'm super excited, like I said, for Shazia. Now, listen, she's a powerhouse. Brace yourselves. She's always that person in our leadership that just has the best questions and she gets the best answers. So I am so excited to have her provide answers for you guys today. If you remember correctly, this season, we are talking about how we can empower, encourage, and educate those women and minority groups to power themselves up and be prepared for anything that might come their way. I want our conversations to uplift each other. I don't want to focus on negativity. I want to focus on how we can be our complete best. So therefore, you are getting the complete best on the podcast. So let's welcome Shazia. Shazia, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited about this conversation. This is something I'm really passionate about, so I can't wait.
I love it. As you guys know, we are here on the CEO Mindset Podcast, constantly evolving and being open to failing forward. I want to provide all types of information to help you do that, because when you fail forward, you are informing your next attempt. And what does that mean? It means we can only get better. So in this conversation, that is our goal, to help you get better. So before we break into the heavy stuff, Shazia, they've already heard your amazing bio. Tell us a little bit of something about yourself that's not in your bio that's quite interesting.
Oh my gosh. Well, here's a fun fact. I love potty humor, which is always so unexpected. You know, I think people think I'm like so prim and proper, and I'm like, no, I love the word fart. Like, it's the funniest word. It sounds like what it is. And so if anybody says fart or poop, like, I will burst out laughing. And I found that most people actually love it too. There's a few who are like, excuse me, we don't use those words. And I'm like, okay, well, we don't live in the same world then, because we all do it. We do both. So we might as well just laugh about it.
Might as well. That is quite funny. And I will remember that for the next leadership class. Okay, so I was looking over your website. Beautiful, by the way. Your images are just beautiful, and I love what it is you do. And you said something on your about page that I want to talk about. You said that you allowed yourself to dream of what life could be even though you had no idea how it would happen. And you started taking steps to bring those dreams to life and stop pretending and began being honest with people about your life and what you were doing. And I think that was such a profound statement that I want everyone to do, because we in this society right now with social media and all of the things going on around us have convinced ourselves in some instances that we have to be like the things we see. We have to put on this facade to be accepted. And the idea that you stopped pretending, right? And you began being honest. I love that. So what advice would you give to someone to help them take their first step towards their dream?
Yeah, you know, I actually just want to tell a story around this to really land like how much I shifted. So I used to be this person who was super guarded, just very private. And I believed two things. One, I believed nobody actually cared about what I had to say. And so I didn't say much. I didn't think that what I was saying was anything of interest to others. So there was that element. And then there was also an element of having to be put together, right? Like I wanted to live my life in a certain way, you know, just to look different than how I had been raised. And I had this goal to like really achieve something. And I found myself one day, I was walking on this path behind my house, and I just stopped. And I had this moment of thinking, how did I get here? How did I get to this moment? Because I was in a place where my marriage was completely falling apart. Nobody knew. I was hiding it from everyone, including my own family, because I thought that my marriage ending was the ultimate failure. And I needed to keep this facade up of this woman that I was and successful in all the ways. And that was the moment I realized I can't do this anymore. I can't keep this facade going. And that was really the first step. It was that brutal honesty with myself of why? Like, why do I need to put this facade on? For who? For what? Like, I'm the one suffering. And at the end of the day, everybody's going to live their own life. And I decided I can't keep going like this. And I went back to my house, and that is where I wrote my vision out. That was when I said, okay, I don't know how my life can look any different than where it is now. You know, we had lost our son, the marriage was ending. It was just a very, very dark place for me. And when I wrote out this vision, it seemed so far away. And I remember one of the things that I wrote in it was that I wanted to look in the mirror and be proud of the person that I saw. Like, I wanted to love the reflection of the person in the mirror. And I wanted somebody who also loved and respected me. And I thought these two things were like the hardest, furthest away things possible. But I decided nothing can be worse than where I was already at in my life. And then I started my dreams journey, which is, you know, what you're referencing. And I just started this list of 100 dreams of things that big and small that I wanted to do. And this is the advice that I would give people. Start with being honest. I think sometimes we want to jump from point A to point Z, but do you even know where you're at right now? You have to understand where you're at. You have to really be willing to look at where you're at to see where you want to go. That is really important. The next thing is to start dreaming about those things. Start thinking about things that would be amazing to have in your life, not whether they can happen, not whether it's realistic, not whether it's possible for somebody like me, but just something that lights you up, that you would be so happy if that happened. Write it down. Nobody's, you know, going to grade you on it. Nobody's going to check, did it happen? But you're allowing yourself to be in an expansive space to say, okay, I'm just going to put it on paper. And the simple act of dreaming and putting it on paper allows your brain to believe it's a reality, because our brain can't distinguish between what is real and what is fake. So when we allow ourselves to start daydreaming, to start thinking about things outside of our day-to-day, that is where things start to expand. So these are the two things I would start with to build your dream life. And Andrea, I also have a 100 dreams list template that I'm happy to share in your show notes, or, you know, if somebody wants to grab that template, it's a gift I actually give now to people. So you don't even have to think about the list. Awesome. It's right there.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I want to kind of sit on something that you said that I don't think we do enough, that before we can even get to the dreams list or the any of those things, you asked a very important question. You asked why. I don't think people put enough stock in the why. Mm-hmm. And when I'm coaching with people, I think pretty much probably like you, we start at the beginning. Why? Why are we this way? How did we become this way? Why are we allowing something that was poured into us that is not innately us to affect us the way it is affecting us? Why? My husband used to do something when we first got married, and it annoyed mm-hmm. me, and it would cause arguments. And I had to stop and ask, why? Why is this bothering me so much? You know, it's causing conflict. Why is it such a big deal in the grand scheme of things? When I asked myself that question, it was something that had been poured into me. It wasn't me. It wasn't a thing that I needed. And once you understand the answers to that why, you can begin to release some of the things that don't even matter to you. You're only allowing it to be important in your mind because someone told you that it was, but is it really? Why is it important to you specifically? Mm-hmm. And I think you saying that, like asking yourself, why am I allowing myself to feel this way? Why am I in this place? I don't have to stay here. I don't have to stay stuck. I don't have to live this life. Why am I doing it to myself? Yeah. It wasn't until you asked yourself that question and got honest with the answer that you were able to step into your 100 dreams.
Yes.
To even go there, yep. to even have the ability to, and the freedom to do that. So I appreciate you saying that. I don't think people ask that question enough. Why am I allowing my life yeah. to be in this way?
Yeah.
Why can't I see myself doing the things? Why is this a pipe dream? Why does it have to
exactly.
be?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. I just think that's the, thank you. Okay. So we talk about this, the dreams, and we talk about the why, but how can someone recognize the pretending? Because you mentioned that you wanted to stop pretending. How will they even get to the why, right? Because it's in the pretending. You don't even think to ask the question. So what are some steps we can take to just stop pretending?
You know, the stop pretending thing is a really important thing that I know is not easy for everyone, especially as minority women, right? And, you know, I can speak to my experience as an Indian American, where, you know, I shared with you already, I felt like people didn't value, right? Like they wouldn't care about what I would want to say. And so that was a driver for me to just kind of hold myself in. But in some ways, it was just trying to be in control. This is what I notice a lot for women in general. Like, we want to be in control because we don't want to get hurt. We don't want to put ourselves in a vulnerable position where somebody could do something that would hurt us. Or maybe we say something that somebody takes the wrong way. And, you know, there's like a lot of this very like, I'm going to like try to sort of control the whole thing that is based on some truth, right? Like, I want to be honest about that. It is based on some truth, especially as minority women. And, you know, what I do know about even the Black female experience, there is a need to be careful, right? There is that need. And I have felt that just myself too. However, this is what I decided one day. And This is, I was talking about this in my power program yesterday. There are some things that are true, but I choose not to drive my life. I don't allow it to drive the way that I am going to live my life. And I decided a long time ago that I was going to stop following the rules, the unspoken rules and the spoken rules. And I just decided that because the rules were never meant to benefit people like you and me. They weren't.
I agree with you. And that is why I wanted to have this conversation this season on the podcast, because of the, and we'll get to this a little bit later, but because of our current climate in this country, it is, we are being forced to look at the very thing you just said. Are we going to continue to follow the rules and play the game? Are we going to strive to be the absolute positive best we can be so that there is no mistaking our value? Or are we going to do a combination of that and have our own? Do we circulate within our own communities first and then allow our awesomeness to spill over? Either way, the conversation, in my opinion, cannot be about what is being done to us, what we are being left out of. It has to be more about, how can I make myself so amazing that they can't deny it? So the actual reason behind not giving me the opportunity is very blatant. It's very much, you know, a very unspoken, but we get it type of a thing. But it's not because I'm not prepared. It's not because I'm not the best person for the job. It's not because I am not valuable. Mm-hmm. It is some other reason that has nothing to do with me. And I want us to have those conversations to encourage and empower women and minorities alike to say to themselves, I have it. Like it isn't a me thing, it's a you thing. And I'm going to power forward and I'm going to stop, you know, operating in the norms and in society's the boundaries that they put on me. I'm going to show you that I'm going to rise above and I'm going to do it anyway.
Yes.
In spite of.
Yeah.
That's what I want this conversation to be about. And so I'm so happy that you brought that up, because you're right. As a Black female, it is important for me to temper my personality in some instances, because I would be looked at as the aggressive person or the angry person. And that's not necessarily the case. I'm smart. I know what I'm talking about. I can be very confident in those things. And in doing so, if you take it a certain way, it is not my problem.
Yeah.
It is not my issue. But we have to get to a point in our conversations with each other. We have to get to the point within our communities where we are able to not pretend anymore, not play that particular game. Now, I actually interviewed Chan. Mm-hmm. She's the podcast that is posting today. And she spoke from a professional standpoint. And she did talk about the need to play a game, but not that game, and knowing how to do so and operate within that space. And she was very, I loved her points as well. But it was about being and showing up as the best version of you, just knowing what the game mm-hmm. is and knowing how to take your awesomeness and applying it to that game. And I think it was a really good, really good point that she made. But I do love what you're saying. You were spot on with that, Shazi. You're spot on.
Yeah, and you know, I want to acknowledge you too, Andrea, that I really feel that you do a great job crossing that bridge. And like you show up as yourself, and you show up in a way that's still you, but still inviting. In situations where I'm like, I would be like, kind of like, you know, but I love that you're like, no, I'm here. Here's what I'm going to say. You start things like in a very positive, fresh way, but you make sure that you get your things said. And I always appreciate that you do that. Yeah, it's not always easy to do that in all settings. And I love that you're able to do that, because for me, I decided to opt out. I just opted out of like society in a way. I just decided to start my own business, leave corporate. And I don't have a bad, you know, history with corporate, but I just really wanted to live in a bubble, and I'm okay with that. I want to live in a bubble where I can be completely myself. I can be surrounded by like-minded people. I can live in a world where I genuinely believe that there are great people in this world. I don't interact with people who just aren't. There's a little whiff of it and you're out. Like, I'm not interested. And so that created the space for me. And part of it too was me taking the risk and being vulnerable to be open and to be myself. And I really do believe that when we start to be open and we start to become more trusting, that the universe, God, whatever your faith system is, reciprocates, because you see what you put out there. And so now sometimes when I see women who are really guarded, I just want to go and give them a hug and say, you don't have to be guarded anymore. Like, be yourself. And I love that you said, you know, there's many ways that we can find success, whether it's within our own communities or within the broader community, within the context of, you know, the different things that are happening in our current, like, culture and politics. Whatever you decide to choose is really up to you. But I would love to see a world in which women can be themselves and have that essence. That when you put your head on the pillow at night, you're not exhaling because you're exhausted, but you're exhaling because you're filled.
I love that. Inside my program, Project CEO, that is what we work on, is being unapologetically you, being the CEO of you. And I think I appreciate you for saying that about me in the leadership class, because where my lessons came from personal experience. And what I realized was, this was an epiphany I had, and I talk about it within the program, but I realized when I was 30 that as long as I can deal with the consequences of my actions, I could do whatever I wanted to do. And I, you know, along that journey, I also realized that my expertise comes from my experience, my unique perspective. So yeah, that also led me to understand what I needed to do and be my best. And that was when you talked about, like, not pretending anymore and, like, really understanding your why, like, why are you doing things and what was actually poured into you versus what was yours and yours alone. I did that work. And when I did that work, I realized how to do what I call manage the volume of my personality. Mm. And a lot of times we get into spaces and we're afraid to be vulnerable, to be open and honest, because of a fear that we will be perceived a certain way. What I've found for myself is I know my strengths, I understand my limitations, but I also know what I want and I know what my non-negotiables are. And so I truly try to operate within that framework. That is the lens that I walk this earth through. And so when I'm in spaces, I know how far I can go. It's a blessing that I don't intimidate easy. It's a blessing that I don't embarrass easy, but I found those things out through my journey. And I think what you're saying is we have to go through that journey. We can't skip it. Otherwise, what happens is we are fearful. We don't show up in society. We kind of tail back and we don't want to exert ourselves in situations for fear of repercussions. Mm-hmm. And so I love what you said, and I love your program and how you're shaping and encouraging and empowering women to be their unapologetic self and giving them the tools to do that. I love that. Thank you. You're awesome. I knew you'd be a great guest. I'm so excited. Okay. So, okay, Shazia, you are a very successful business owner, and I'm sure you've struggled in the area of discrimination, challenges of the like, because we are women of color in this country. But what advice would you give to someone who's actually aspiring to be an entrepreneur on how to persevere through things like that?
Okay. I think I got lucky in a lot of ways, but I remember this one situation where I was actually very young at the time. I was looking for internships, and I had gone out to Michigan to General Motors for this interview. They had brought me out, and, you know, I was a female engineer, so I was kind of coveted at the time. And I knew immediately I didn't want to work in this factory in Michigan. I was like, no way. My other job offer was at Disneyland. Like, why would I want to go there? But there was this white man who had interviewed me. And so when I gave my no to him, he was really taken aback. Like, how could I? And I remember thinking for a moment, like, he made it seem as though I should take the offer because they did this for me and now I owe them. Like, that it was so obvious. I like to give a lot of excuses, okay, and a lot of benefit of the doubt, but this was really, really obvious that he thought that I should just be so grateful and accept it. And the fact that I didn't, he was really angry. And he let me know too, he was upset. And I'm so grateful for, in that moment, just not caring. I just literally did not care. And as somebody who is a people pleaser, I don't know what allowed me to not care, but I just did not care. And I would give that advice today. Like, sometimes you have to be willing to just say, I don't care. I'm going to let it roll off my shoulders and I'm going to carry on. Because if I had let that thinking, or that, just, it was so insidious. And if I had allowed my people pleaser or my need to be a nice girl and, you know, do the right thing, I could have ended up in a job that I hated, which could have changed the whole trajectory of my life. I don't owe anybody anything. You don't owe anybody.
That is such anything. A strong and powerful. I mean, that is so powerful. I want your advice to get people there, because that really is what it boils down to. You don't owe anybody anything.
Like, you just get to say that. You don't owe anybody anything. Like, I don't owe anybody anything. Like, go look in the mirror and say that. I don't owe anybody anything. And people will try to make you feel like that. They will. And it's a very subtle thing. You know, sometimes it's subtle and sometimes it's not. But at the end of the day, you have agency in your life. And sometimes things are just not meant to work out, and it's okay to walk away from it. And, you know, yeah, sometimes it's just okay to walk away.
And it takes us back to the why.
Yes.
It takes us back to the why. Why do you care what someone is thinking? Why is that such an important thing for you to do what's best for you? Why are you worried about what someone else thinks when you're making decisions about you?
Yes.
Why? That is a huge question that you have to ask yourself, but there's a lot of work behind the why. You and I both know there's a lot of work behind the why. It's not a question that you're going to answer in the moment, because you're feeling it. You're feeling the inferiority. You're feeling the fear. You're feeling the self-consciousness. You're feeling all of those things. So you have to ask that question before you get to this point, so that you have the confidence to do what you did and say, I don't know
anything. No.
I'm smart. He wants me because I'm amazing at what I do. That's the point I'm trying to get to. They want you because you're amazing at what you do. If they lowball you,
yes,
your worth. Yes. Understand your worth so that you can get what you deserve and not let someone just give you something because you feel like that's all you have. No, you are worthy of greatness, but you got to put greatness in. You got to understand what your value is and feed it so that it becomes undeniable. That's what I want this season to be about. It's bringing me on home.
And let's say one more thing to that too. Be willing to be in a little bit of discomfort with somebody else to give yourself a lot of comfort in the long run. Begin valuing your comfort above all else. Like, just period. Put a period on that. And it might be a little bit uncomfortable situation in the negotiation, but you said it. Once you put it out there, it's done. It might be a little bit uncomfortable to say, hey, no, I'm not going to do that, or I'm going to walk away from this. But the long-term comfort for you, if you put that in your forefront, which as women, we tend to not do. We tend to put ourselves second, third, fourth, fifth. Start putting yourself first in that way, because your comfort breeds comfort for everybody that you care about. So focus on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You are enough.
Yes.
I don't think women think we're enough, but we are enough. And we do far and wide above and beyond what is called of us in a lot of instances. But that also takes us back to when we were first talking about, like, the reason for this podcast is to encourage people to become the best versions of themselves. And when you, like, for me, the personal framework that I just talked to you about, that's what I call it. When I, you know, your strengths, your limitations, your desires, and your non-negotiables, that's my personal framework. When you operate through that personal framework, you won't leave anything on the table, because you'll go after the areas where you know you're strong. You will accommodate for those areas where you know you are limited. You understand what you want, so you're going to go after it. But then there are things that you just won't tolerate. And when you operate within that space, you show up as your best self every single time. It's been tested and proven. You show up as yourself every single time. So now when you go to that interview, or you decide that you're going to go out for that particular bid because you own a company, if you're operating through that space, then you're putting your best foot forward. Guess what? If you don't get it, there's nothing yes. to lament. Because you did your mm-hmm. absolute best. It just wasn't for you. So now the mindset around those circumstances is completely different than had you not done the work. Because had you not done the work, the fact that you didn't get it is where excuses yes. come in. It's where blame comes in. It's where insufficiency comes in. Imposter syndrome, negative self-talk, all of those things happen because you're thinking you didn't do enough. You're thinking they didn't like mm-hmm. you because of this, mm-hmm. all of those things. But when you do this work and you answer this why question that Shazia mentioned at the beginning, when you stop pretending like Shazia mm-hmm. mentioned at the beginning, when you do that work like Shazia said she did at the beginning, you get to a place where you really see situations for what they are. You know how to manage yourself within those situations so that you're showing up as your best. So no matter what happens, you can be okay. Now, does your flesh still go through the, you know, I wish I'd done all of it? Of course it will. But ultimately, when you come to your senses, you realize that you did everything you could do.
And yeah. in your hands. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what breeds confidence is what you're talking about. When you really know yourself, then you can be confident. When people ask, how can I be more confident? There's two things. One, knowing yourself, and two, being courageous enough to take the action that you want. These are the two things. The more that you are yourself and you take that action and you take that next action, you take that next action, you're going to be proud of yourself, and what is meant for you will come to you, and what isn't won't, you know? And everything, you know, just adding to all the beautiful things you said, when you have this foundation, it does allow it to be much easier to continue to move forward.
And do it afraid. Yeah. It makes it so much easier to do it afraid when you're operating in
yes.
your
100%,
zone of
genius. 100%. Yeah. Absolutely. Does everybody know about zone of okay. genius, though? You and I know, but does everybody else know?
Yeah. Well, your zone of genius is basically my personal framework. That's kind of how I came up with that, because you're operating in a space where your strengths mm-hmm. can thrive, and you have taken account of your limitations, and so you know how to mitigate them or overcome them when they happen, and you are confident in this little area, this little yep. space of yours, where you can be the genius in that space. And another thing about, this is something, I just did a video on this, it's kind of along the lines of this, where you have people who are afraid to speak. You are an amazing speaker, right? So you have people who are afraid to get up and do these things afraid. But what I've found is that if we think about our perspective, I tell people that we are a fingerprint. We are a snowflake. We are the sum of our influence, our experience, our perspective, and our passion. Nobody has the exact
Nobody.
Same combination. If you think of yourself as that, then when you get up to do the thing that you're afraid to do and you're doing it afraid, you can do it with a confidence that nobody's going to do it like me. Nobody's going to have the approach that I have, because I am as unique as a snowflake. So how can I be wrong? I'm coming at this with a full throttle with my strengths, understanding my limitations, knowing what I want out of this. And I'm doing it from my personal influences, my personal experiences, my personal perspective on the subject, and my personal passion about the subject. How could I be wrong, right? And so the fear goes away. I used to be afraid to speak, as much as I like to talk.
No,
about
I can't
when you leave it. I used to be. I did.
Exactly how you show up, and that's why we're all magnetized, and we're like, "What is she saying? Yes, you want us to walk off the cliff? Okay."
I used to be afraid to speak, but it was because I was afraid someone was going to ask me a question on a subject and I wouldn't know the answer, or I was going to say something that wasn't, factual or something like that. And I just never wanted to put myself in that position. But it wasn't until I realized that it doesn't have to be spot on if it's coming from my perspective. If I read an article, if I read some research, if I am talking on a subject matter, I can leverage who I am in that conversation, in that speech, to identify
yes.
my perspective on that subject
yes.
matter. I can speak from that place and nobody can deny the fact because mm-hmm. that's my perspective. And I would love to hear your perspective if you have a different one, but you can't tell me that what I'm feeling about something, the way I read something, the way I interpreted it based on my influence, experience, perspective, and passion
yeah.
is wrong. And so when I'm teaching people about like how to really show up as themselves in this way, that's what I want people to get. And I think based on this conversation that we're having, you feel like you seems like mm-hmm. you're the same, that you were coming from the same space. But I think that's another way that you get to the point where you can stop pretending.
Yeah, you know? For sure. And you know, I want to just add something I had learned related. I love that you shared that you used to be worried that like you wouldn't be an expert or you wouldn't know everything. And this is so common actually for women. This is why women don't go for the higher job opportunity or the promotion or the thing, because women statistically will want to fulfill every single criteria before they go for something. Whereas the data shows that men will go for something even if it's just like a little bit. And I think that's a place for us to lean into where like, go for it. You don't have to be the guru. You can be a contributor. And when you reframe that I am a contributor, I don't have to be the end all be all. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to do all these things. Then go for it. You know, do the thing. Why not? Because you have a really good chance of that thing actually happening too.
That's what I was going to say. You're gonna surprise mm-hmm. yourself because you think that you really don't know, you're not that good, somebody else is better. And then you get in the space and they're like, oh my God, that was amazing. Yes. I absolutely don't. I learned so much. Wow, where have you been all my life? And you're like, well, I'll just kind of say it, you know, and then you'll realize that it really wasn't as big of a monster yeah. as you thought it was. And that you really are you have much more information than you thought you did. So you don't have to be afraid of the thing. So that's why it's so important to do it afraid. Yeah. Because most times when we do it afraid, we learn that we were way more qualified than we thought we needed to be.
100%. 100%. Yeah. I just going to say one last thing. It's a little cheeky, but I often think, what would a white man do?
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's so funny that you mentioned that. So I had my twins, you know, I had my twins really, really early. And we were in the NICU, and they only had a 20% chance mm-hmm. to survive. And when I was talking to the doctor, they were talking to us about it. They were like, well, it's a really good thing. The doctors actually said this. It's a really good thing that these are Black females, because Black females they're the strongest. The babies, when they come in the NICU, they're the strongest and they survive the most. And they said, it's Black girls, it's Black boys, then it's white girls, then it's white boys. And they call them the wimpy white boys. So that said, you know, they come in and it might be a little whiny. I'm not going to lie. Maybe it's a little whiny, but that's all the more reason for us as women of color, women in general, people of color, to walk into a room being the absolute yes. best we can be. Mm-hmm. Forget what they want.
Yeah.
Forget what they're looking for. That's not what this conversation is about. This conversation is about you showing up as your
yes.
absolute best. No matter what room you're walking in, you need to do the work. Stop pretending. Do the work. Answer the question why. All the things Shazi and I are sitting here talking about. And identify mm-hmm. your best. And yeah. then walk in that. Every single step of the way. That's what you need to do. So, okay. Let's move on. We just sit here all day. You're definitely coming back for sure. Okay. So, on your website, you mentioned you mentioned that conformity thing that you did. So, knowing mm-hmm. what you know now. But there are people out there that are doing that same thing. They're conforming, they're pretending, they're doing these things. What are three things you'd say to empower, if you were talking mm-hmm. to yourself? Like, let's step outside of the other mm-hmm. people right now. Let's ask, what would the 10-year-old Shazia need to know? Because in addition to us talking to women who are listening to this podcast or other adults who are listening to this podcast, as parents, as aunties, as grandparents, we need to be building up these younger children to be, you know, and empower them in that way. So what are three things you'd say to your 10-year-old self to stay true to who you are?
I would definitely, the first thing I would say, don't make yourself small ever. Never. The only regrets I have in life are when I made myself small and I shrunk myself. So don't make yourself small. Everything's going to turn out just fine. It's going to turn out just fine. Stop trying so hard. Stop trying to control the outcome. When you let go, things are going to work out beautifully. Trust in that. And be yourself. Be like your vivacious, big, you know, bold self, and be that person that you have always been. In my case, I was a rebel since I was a little girl, and I would say just keep on going, you know.
So keep doing that, girl. Keep being the rebel that you are too. That's so funny. I love that. So we talked about our political climate. Do you foresee there being any obstacles for women and minorities seeking entrepreneurship moving forward? And if so, what do you think those obstacles are? And do you have any tips to overcome them? If not,
To be honest, I don't know that there are any additional things to overcome from the entrepreneur space. Maybe in the working space and corporate, perhaps. Yes, that's a different conversation. In the entrepreneurship space, I don't actually think so, because what already existed before that no one talked about existed, right? Like, you know, I'll be quite honest, in my entrepreneurship journey, something that really surprised me was that I noticed that in my coaching work and the work that I do, I was attracting women who looked like me, women of color, and, quote unquote, woke women. I mean, woke, I guess, is a bad word now. I don't know why, but, you know, I know.
Well, it's a bad word.
What's wrong with being awake, you know? Anyhow, what I noticed, and it bugged me for a long time, because I thought, gosh, like, why am I not attracting more white women? I really wondered about that, until one day I'm like, why do I even need to do that? You know, so 10 years ago when I started, or even now, things haven't changed, and I don't think they will change. I think that people will just come to who they feel comfortable with. And guess what? I love my clients. I love the women who come in my world. And the white women who come in my world, I love them too, but they are more awake, right? So am I going to fight to be seen by a group of people who just don't see me? No. You know, like, no, I'm not. I'm not going to wait for a seat at the table anymore. I created my own table, you know, and I'm welcoming people who want to come and sit at the table. So I let go of that piece of wanting to be invited in, to be accepted, to be seen by someone else. And I just decided no. And so when it comes to entrepreneurship, I just don't think that that's changed today as compared to 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I mean, it's much better than decades ago, but I don't see a big shift based on, you know, our current climate. I just think it's always
I want to agree with you there. I do. I want to agree with you there, because ultimately, as an entrepreneur, our goal is to identify our audience. And sometimes our audience identifies us. And we have to listen to that, because if we want to stay in business, we want to go to the people who actually want us. I do think in this conversation, though, it's important for us to kind of emphasize what you just said. Like, a lot of us go into our businesses thinking that we want to serve a certain group, maybe because they think that group is more well-funded, they have the disposable income to, you know, purchase from us or whatever. But if you find that you're fighting an uphill battle to get their attention, to get them to purchase from you, and I've experienced that myself, where I really, my heart is for small businesses, and I didn't care what color the small business owner was, where they were coming from. I just wanted to really serve them. But on two fronts, one, I realized that not too many people that look like me were getting business from that particular group that I was operating in. They would talk to me. We could build relationships all day, but they weren't purchasing from me. They were purchasing from someone else that didn't look like me. So I identified that. But then also, just knowing that you like you said, the group, it's okay if a certain demographic is attracted mm-hmm. to you and you serve that demographic. But again, it goes back to being confident and knowing, because that, if not getting business, not being in the area or serving the group that you think you want to serve for whatever reason in your head that may or may not be true, like not getting that could be a deflation in your ego, like, or in your mm-hmm. your confidence. But I think this is why this conversation is so important and why I put it here, because no, you're right. Nothing really has changed in the entrepreneurial space for women. We still struggle to get loans.
Venture capital.
People don't want to mm-hmm. finance us, right? They don't think that we're as qualified in some instances. Trying to get into a male-dominated world, no matter what the color of the male is a little bit difficult for women in some instances. They just feel, I guess, more confident in other mm-hmm. males. I don't know. So that is an issue, but knowing who you are, knowing your worth, knowing the value that you're bringing to the table is very important to do what you said. Serve the people, be okay with not serving the majority that people would call the majority, not serving them, and serving those who are actually coming to you, making yourself available. But that goes back to people do business with people they know, like, and trust, right? And so if you were showing up as your authentic self unapologetically, people who are attracted to that are going to.
Exactly. And I think, you know, use the word deflation, and it can feel deflated and it can hurt, right? I've been passed opportunities to speak on stages and things where I am more qualified, much more qualified, but I'm not even seen, right? Because it just is what it is. I don't, like you said, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. I want to work towards moving forward. But when it comes to entrepreneurship, one thing I say is if you're going to have a purpose-driven business, you've got to believe in it like nobody else. Because I'm only here because I just believe in this work so much. Otherwise, I would have quit a long time ago. And a lot of people have, and I get it. I've just stayed the course because I'm like, no, this is what I'm meant to do. And I'm stubborn. And I'm like, I'm going to keep going and doing this. Because those moments can feel very difficult. And so I just want to make the space for those times too, that it can be really hard. But if you really believe in what you're doing, like, keep going, like, let this be the sign. If you've been wondering, should I keep doing something? Yes. Like, we're telling you right now, keep going. You know, the long game, it is a marathon. It is a long game, and it's very rewarding when you stay in it, despite the times where, you know, it can be disheartening.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It all goes back to your why. Why are you doing it? What is your reason? The purpose behind what you're doing? Because if it's genuine, if it's truly a passion, and you feel like it's your purpose to do, you won't stop. I mean, your passion is that thing you'll do with your eyes closed, hands tied behind your back, out of a deep sleep. And if you really were trying to make money at it, you can do it for free. That's really what your passion boils down to. And I don't think that anything happening currently can stop that train if it's really in you to do. And you'll find a way to do it. Very good. Listen, I could go on and on with you. You have been a joy on the podcast. I just think that there have been so many pearls, just mm-hmm. great advice for anyone trying to come up with their own business, anybody just trying to operate as their authentic self altogether, no matter the space. I think you've given us some great insight and some great tips that we can walk away with, chew on, and apply to our lives. And I so appreciate you for being on the podcast. I really do. I can't wait for our next leadership, because I'm just going to tell everybody how awesome. And they have to listen to her podcast because she gave us so many great tools. Listen, guys, that is going to do it for this episode of the CEO Mindset Podcast. Shazia has some great tools. She mentioned her 100 Dreams List template. We're going to put that out there for you in the show notes so you can grab that, because we want you to stop pretending. We want you to dream. Dream as big as the sky, because you can. You don't have to have the specifics on it right now, but it takes that dream to even take your first step. So here on this podcast, we are constantly evolving. Shazia has given us so many areas to evolve in. And we are being open to those failures and not being afraid of them, because they are going to inform our next attempt. And it's in that attempt, you might just find your success. So keep listening to the CEO Mindset Podcast. Subscribe if you haven't. And we'll be back next week. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.